In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
We are just, brothers and sisters in Christ, a few days away from this glorious feast of the Church, the Nativity of our Lord and Savior, Christmas Day. And we have to kind of adjust our thinking, and strange as that sounds, remind ourselves why it all happens. What are we celebrating? What's about to take place? Because there are forces out in the world that are pulling us away from what we are really celebrating with the Nativity of Jesus. This celebration is about God coming into the world as a man. God being born as a babe. God coming in the flesh to redeem mankind through the birth of Jesus Christ and through his life and his passion and death and resurrection. But it all begins at his coming into the world. This is why we're here. This is what the Nativity is. This is what Christmas Day commemorates. So having said that, we then wonder, what's the theological significance? We know that Jesus came to save us, but what's going on with this? God calls us, brothers and sisters in Christ, he calls us to a specific purpose. He wants something for us. He created us to be in a way that's pleasing to him. And when we fail, we have failed and we continue to fail, he comes in and he shows us how life should be if we belong to him, if we are truly his people and he is our God. So God has called us to something. He's called us to not just to be nice people and not bother anybody, although that's important too, to be nice. He calls us to, we say in the church, sometimes a threefold purpose. God created us for, and he calls us today to. And we remember this especially at the birth of Jesus Christ our Savior, because all this is realized for us. He calls us to three things. He calls us to a prophetic calling. We are supposed to be prophets. God created us for that purpose. Are we prophets? Are we prophetic? He called us to a priestly purpose. God ordained us to all be priests, in a sense. We have the priesthood of baptized believers, and what does that mean? Are we really living up to our priesthood? And finally, to a kingly purpose. God calls us to be kings and rule over his creation. So we can look at these three things and see how they tie into what we just heard read today in the gospel, because this is why we read it. Prophets, priests, and kings. Why do we read the genealogy today? It's that passage that we say, probably we groan when we see it, the ones who read it, because it's got all the long names. It's like reading through a phone book. You know, this one is this one, and this one, sometimes it's worded begat so-and-so, so it's done like that. The genealogy in Matthew is given to us for a specific purpose, and it's to show us how Jesus relates to what God ordained beforehand. It shows specifically his kingly lineage to David the king. And that's done with, we have three sets of 14, you remember, in all those names. Three sets of 14. And of course, they're marked by up till the time of David the king, and then the deportation to Babylon, and then 14 generations after that. So we could say roughly that these three groups are the judges. You know, these are the people that God ordained to show wisdom and to be prudent and to express his will in the communities before Israel had a king. So we hear about those names, 14 of them. And then we hear about the kings themselves. The kings David and Solomon and all those who ruled as a real monarch. That's the second group. And then the third group we hear about are the priests that were expressing God's will. After Israel was exiled into Babylon and they couldn't have a temple and they couldn't have their cultic rites of worship. So God expressed himself through the priesthood. Through the priesthood. So these three roles we see come up today. You know, the judges, and we could say slash prophetic, the kingly, and then the priestly. Just the thing that God's calling us to. And some scholars have even said that the 14, you know, David's name in Hebrew, if you break down the consonants, and I'm not a linguistic scholar, but it has a numeric value of 14. That's what they tell us. So even to emphasize again the kingly lineage of Jesus Christ, our Savior, that he is from the line of David. So we look to Jesus as we prepare for Christmas, and we think about what it means for us to be human. You know, if you think about it, God made us to be prophets. He made us to be kings, and he made us to be priests. And how are we doing? How are we doing? Prophets are those who are gifted to know the will of God and to express that in some way, in their words, in their actions. Express that and teach it to others. Somebody who knows the will of God. We might know the will of God. Maybe we don't know the will of God. We like to do what our will is. Even though we pray, "Thy will be done," in the Lord's Prayer, we very oftentimes fall back on our own resources, and we do the thing that I want, the thing that pleases me, even if it goes contrary to the will of God. So this is part of our fallen human condition. You know, we sin, and all sin can be said to trace back to following our own will and our own counsel rather than the will of God. That sin in the Garden of Eden of Adam and Eve, you know, they were told that they could be God, but they had to do the thing that God commanded them not to do. So they decided, well, we could be God without God. Who needs God? Right? They followed their own counsel, got rid of God, and tried to do it themselves. So we do that. We do that. We don't live up to our prophetic calling. Then we have this priestly function in the world. We understand priesthood in a few ways in the church. We have those who are chosen and ordained to lead communities in worship and to pray on behalf of themselves and all. But we also have each of us who are called a priesthood of believers. We are supposed to lift up God's creation and offer it to him and bless and sanctify and pray and intercede on behalf of others, on behalf of the whole world. We're supposed to want the salvation of the whole world. Do we do that? How are we doing in our priesthood? A lot of the times we open our mouths and we curse, you know. We pray in the Psalms, "Open up our lips, O Lord, and my mouth shall declare thy praise." But we're blaspheming, we're cursing, we're condemning, and we're tearing down with our words. So we don't always live up to our priestly function that God has ordained for us. God created us to be kings, to rule over his creation, to be inheritors of heaven, and to live a life in him. But do we do that? The great parable that we get in preparation for Lent, the one of the prodigal son, is often called that great parable of repentance, because in it we hear about that young man who was to inherit everything his father had, but he wanted to take it early, the prodigal son. He wanted it now on his terms, so he asked for it early. And then he went and he squandered it, as we know in the parable. And then he was living, after he spent all his money, he was living with the pigs. He was living at the pigs. And he had a moment where he came to himself and said, "This is not right. This is not right. I should be in my father's house." Well, he didn't say, "I should be in my father's house." He wanted to be in his father's house. And he knew that he had sinned before God and before his father. So he had a moment of repentance there. Most of the time, we, instead of sharing in that life of God, in the sacraments of the church, in the body and blood of our Lord, we're living with the pigs, you know. We should be with our Father in His house, sharing in the heavenly kingdom, and we're living in the squalor of the world and of all of our pettiness and of our passions, because we're prone to that in this world. So we don't do very well in our kingly calling either. But this is why God sent His Son Jesus Christ into the world. This is why we have this Christmas feast. This is why we remember the Nativity and we think about the various things that Jesus teaches us in His birth and that His life shows us. You know, last week in the sermon, I remember Deacon Edmund mentioned the passage in Luke's Gospel where there's no room for Jesus to lay His head in the inn. You know, no room in the inn. We all know that. Our children probably know that better than any. Jesus comes to be born, and there's no room for Him to lay His head, so He's placed in a barn with the animals. And it's interesting when you look at the text in the original languages. Once again, I'm not the scholar. I just know what the church fathers and the scholars say. And it's nice to share this. The word that's used for the inn that Jesus is rejected in, the original word in the Greek is kalimata. And that word appears later in the gospel only when Jesus is in the upper room. It's used for that same thing, the upper room, the inn. So Jesus is rejected in the inn to lay His head as a child because He can only lay down and recline in the kalimata of the upper room where He will lay down His life and offer it as a sacrifice for the world and for its salvation. So the text has a little, they call that inclusion when it refers to something that happened before. It's kind of a poetic device. Jesus came to die. He came to sacrifice. He came to give up His life for the world. So we remember that today as we rejoice at the expectation of His coming. He came to do the thing that would bring us back to God. You know, to be born, to live a life, to be obedient to God, and to love until the end, even to death on the cross, which God ordained would redeem all of us and unite us back to that good relationship with Him if we accept it and if we put it on. So Christmas, brothers and sisters in Christ, is a time of, like we say, fulfilled expectation. Advent is building up to it. We prepare ourselves. Think about the ways we fail. We're not the priests that we should be. We're not the prophets. And we're not the kings. But this is what God has ordained for us. This is what He calls us to. And this is what He offers us in this baby born in a barn with the animals, who will ultimately give up His life and shed His blood for the salvation of the world. So let us take these words to heart. Let us remember and not be down or despondent about our failings, but bring them to God. That's why we have confession in the church. You know, God knows that we're subject to the ways of the world and we fall into sin. Our mothers conceived us in sin, it says in the Psalms. In other words, from the moment we were conceived, the world was already polluted with it. So we didn't have much of a chance. But we do have the opportunity to see that, to see God's light, to repent and to confess it to Him, so that we could change, so that we could be transformed. So thank God for all things. Not the least is the birth of His Son, Jesus Christ, which we commemorate in the Nativity. Let us ask Him to allow us to celebrate that in a good and godly way, to remember the reason Jesus came into the world. And for us as believers and as followers, if we identify with Him, we have to be like Him. So think about the ways we fail and how Jesus makes it right. There's no perfection apart from Jesus. Remember, and we heard that in the epistle today. I brought that out to see. All the wonderful prophets and figures of the Old Testament who did these great works of God, they did them all. And we heard read the list there. They conquered kingdoms received promises, quenched fire and stopped the mouth of lions, escaped the sword, but they did not receive the fullness of the promise because God had foreseen something better for us. Notice it's us now. It's not just them. It's all of us, the saints in heaven, the saints here on earth. God has ordained that we should all be made perfect only in Him. And Christmas, the nativity, the coming in the flesh of God in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, in His birth, is how we are made perfect. So glory to God forever, and may the peace of Jesus born in the manger be with us and all of you during this time and throughout the new year. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.